Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now, and I've been watching a terrific new show about being a young, struggling single mom. In fact, single mom is in the title, but that's about all we can tell you about the title. And it's going to be tough to talk about the show because it is raw, but it's real. But it may not be for everyone, a warning there. The new Showtime comedy is SMILF, Single Mother I'd Like to Whatever. It's a slur that creator Frankie Shaw decided to reclaim. She stars as Bridget Bird, raising her son Larry, named after basketball great Larry Bird, in South Boston, which has been a favorite of filmmakers. But Frankie Shaw's Southie is integrated. Her character's child is biracial. Raffy, her ex and little Larry's father, wants to help raise him while trying to stay sober. Bridget's mom, played by Rosie O'Donnell, takes care of little Larry and is suspicious of his parents' relationship.
I was thinking we could take Larry, we go down to Joseph's, we get him a cookie, you know, because I think he really needs to feel loved.
He does feel loved.
I know, I'm just saying with Raffy, the relapse and all.
Mom, he's been sober for over a year, okay? I mean, he does bedtime every night.
Oh, really? Well, he shows up for what, a whole 10 minutes?
It's
not nothing to brag about.
Bridget Bird has that hair-clipped-up, too-skinny look of a harried south-of-blue-collar mom, balancing childcare with acting auditions and her dream of playing pro basketball. Frankie Shaw taps into her past for it. Her mom and aunts and grandma grew up in Southie. And Frankie not only stars in SMILF, she writes, directs, and executive produces the show. She joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, you know, I say this is a well-trod South Boston. I mean, we go back to Good Will Hunting. Mm-hmm. But you said you wanted to do a different South Boston. How so?
You know, I think we've become really accustomed to the gangster movies of Southie. Mm-hmm. You know, The Departed and a bunch of the Affleck mm-hmm. brother movies. And so we don't really see the women in Southie. And it's the women in Southie that I know. And so I thought it would be great to have that as part of the fabric of the show.
And what did you want to say about these women?
I mean, it's really sort of blue-collar women in general. And it was important that we are talking about class struggle within the struggle of single motherhood. And one thing that I notice about my family, who is very Southie, is that in times of crisis, they come together. But then on the other hand, we also are exploring some of the darker elements, you know, with my mom in the show, played by Rosie O'Donnell, she has bipolar disorder, and so she's dealing with the ups and downs of that. And there's something about grandparents that where they can show up for their grandkids in a way that they couldn't show up for their own children.
Yeah. Well, and you also have Connie Britton, the fabulous actress from Nashville, playing a mother in the suburbs with three teens. You're the tutor for the mm-hmm. family, and this is a very wealthy family. She also has struggles.
Yeah, we talk a lot about trauma and how that has affected these different women. So with Connie Britton's character, you'll notice in episode 2, she dissociates for a minute and she sort of stares off and Bridget's trying to get her attention. Allie.
Sorry. Oh, yes, this is what I was thinking of. Casey!
She's dealing with her own issues in her past and it was just important that we're sort of going deeper with all of the women.
Issues of, well, everybody has eating disorders.
Yeah. I love this. Food addiction.
Food
yeah.
addictions. There's one scene where sitting around with your character is in an eating disorders, a 12-step group.
Yeah.
Your character is skinny, but stuffs junk mm-hmm. food. But then there's also another character who's very overweight, and she ends up making money by making YouTube videos mm-hmm. for men who can watch her eat. Did you ever really hear that?
Yeah, that's a real thing. It's called eater feeder porn, actually. Ugh. It's pretty disturbing. The eater is the woman and the feeder is the man. And they make these videos of the man who's normally pretty normal looking, average sized. And he'll be feeding her. And the goal is to get her so big that she can't leave her room. It's like sort of a weird twist on empowerment.
Well, because your character rationalizes it by saying, hey, all I have to do is eat. It's not like it's sex or anything. So she feels she's in control of it, but it's still
under the guise of objectifying women.
Right.
Part of that story was how we're implicit in this bigger conversation that we're all having now with women being used for sex or sidelined. By, you know, just being used for their body or how attractive they are or that being their worth.
Right. There's another scene. It's a very interesting relationship that develops between you, your ex, your child's father, and his new girlfriend, who at first seems clueless, like she doesn't understand, as you are looking on as the mom, what it feels like to have a new girlfriend playing with your child. But then something interesting develops, like a friendship. You also, in real life, became pregnant, moved to Los Angeles, and you were a struggling single mom. Is that something from your life?
Yeah, it was really important to me not to pit these two women against each other. You know, in my real life, my son's stepmom is an actress, and yes, there are difficulties figuring out how to co-parent. You know, as a mom, you know, I'm like, oh, what's going on at the other house? How is my son being talked to and treated, especially when he was younger? And just that sort of fear of her own biological children getting more attention than my own kid. Like, all of those things are real and do exist. But the thing that we did differently, or at least seems to be unexpected given the reaction that this relationship's getting in the show, is we're constantly talking. We are honest with each other. When we do have an issue or concern, we have family meetings where we talk about all of this. And at the heart of it, we all want what's best for our children. And I think if that's driving the relationship, we can sort of put our own personal issues aside.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say about the food stuff is, you know, there's like a big connection between sexual trauma and food issues. Bridget is a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, and that is connected to her eating disorder. And yeah, she might not be overweight, but it's food addiction is a very real thing for her.
Well, and we come to know this abuse in the most kind of shocking way. She has gone to an audition for a public service announcement about PTSD. In fact, I'm wondering if you pulled this from, you've said you had an audition for Breaking Bad and you couldn't find a babysitter. So you had to bring your son. She brings her son as well, and she gets the job after this truly, really good crying scene that you do. And they're congratulating her on getting this job and saying, how'd you do that? And she blurts out, oh, yeah, I was sexually abused by my dad.
Yeah, I have been to war. Yeah.
And oh, thank you. I got the job. I'm so excited. I mean, it was jarring.
Well, there's something about the character where she gets in her own way. She gets this win and then immediately self-sabotages by, you know, not having any boundaries and too much TMI. But the other thing that is important to us is that we're dealing with issues that are normally swept under the rug. So we're going to talk about things in an open way, in the way that they actually happen. And so that's part of maybe Bridget's charm and also her downfall. Is that she does talk too much and she just assumes everyone's her best friend when they're not.
Well, talking about these real issues, one is absolutely ripped from the headlines. We remember when Cam Newton, the Carolina Panthers quarterback, told a reporter it was funny to hear a question from her, a woman. Your character, your husband's girlfriend, is a sports reporter, and she has almost that exact exchange with a player in a parking lot when she's doing some of her television reporting. Let's listen.
Is it safe to say your move to slot receiver is a new phase of your career?
What, you're like an expert on slot receiver, huh?
Excuse me?
No, it's just funny hearing a female talk like that.
Let me ask you about, I mean, obviously we're in this moment in time where you taped this before this explosion of sexual harassment cases. And sex and sexuality is such a big part of this show. And your character wanting to feel that she still has some, you know, even though she's this harried single mom. And there's that interesting kind of juxtaposition, this moment of revealing sexual harassment and women being objectified, and this young woman going out and grabbing every young man, you know, from the corner store because she wants to explore her sexuality.
Yeah, well, I'm not putting on her that she's a harried single mom who shouldn't have sex, right? So
right,
I'm coming
right.
from her point of view, which is I'm a 28-year-old woman who wants to be sexually active, who wants to be intimate with somebody. Sometimes it's also to prove a point, like in episode 4 when she's trying to pick up a guy the way guys pick up women. She puts garbage bags in her crotch to make like a pretend bulge, and then she goes and hits on a guy. And that sort of sex scene was like, oh, what it would be like to hit on someone if I, you know, was taking on the persona of a dude.
You are prettier than you know. And I have always wanted to learn how to use one of these. Ken.
That's my name.
It's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
And just tell us a little more about the other storyline. I mean, one is about reclaiming owning sexuality, and the other is of sexual harassment and abuse.
Yeah, you know, I don't know one woman who hasn't experienced some sort of sexual violence on some level or another. And this was something we talked a lot about in the writer's room, and it was important for us to show it the way we knew it. This was all before all the hashtag Me Too, which has been such an incredible thing to witness as we are premiering the show to the world, just how they've lined up. There seems to be a solidarity now among men and women, sticking up for women and saying that this is not okay. And so we are given a voice in a time that we've always previously been silenced.
Look, this has got to be so much work. But how much fun are you having? It feels like there's, you know, no storyline, including your own love of basketball. You played basketball.
Yeah.
And your character plays basketball. What a dream.
It is such a dream. I mean, it's so much work. And every minute I can say I love doing it.
Doesn't get better than that.
Yeah.
That's actor, writer, director, executive producer Frankie Shaw. Her new show is Smilf. Frankie, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Up every day at 6, bacon and eggs to fix.
It's a song from Smilf's great soundtrack. Showtime has just renewed the show for a second season. It's here now.